Jason Vincent for Trey Wingo and Mike Golic. Sit with Mike Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Why sad, Mike?
Because so we play that rejoin coming back, your high-pitched, squealy voice, and we all laugh and have a good time. But then I'm just remembering as I look across you now, like my sister and her boyfriend are in town right now, and he was going out to get coffee, and he asked if we wanted anything. And yesterday he did, and he got us coffee, and it was great. And we both just got, you know, like cold brew coffee, just black. You had some vanilla in
sugar-free vanilla.
And so I get the text today, like, hey, do you guys want coffee again? I said, yeah, sure. And I look at Jason, I go, same order as yesterday, right? And Jason goes, no, can I get a venti skinny vanilla latte? Like, I have to keep looking down because I've never had a complicated coffee order ever. And so when you say all these things to me, I'm like, all right, like, you want candy, and that's fine, like, but it's jarring for me.
Iced venti skinny vanilla latte. It's one of the most popular drinks at Starbucks. How have you never heard of this, considering the number of times you go? All it is coffee with a little bit of milk and a little bit of sugar-free vanilla, and it's skim milk because it's skinny. Come on now.
You know what? And, like, I get it. Like, and when I go out and, like, when I drink alcohol, I'm all for, like, I drink pink drinks all the time. Like, I don't subscribe that there are, like, drinks that we assign masculinity to. Like, drink whatever gets you going, whatever to get you drunk in that situation. But in this case, for some reason, with coffee, I've always gone the other way. Maybe it's because I drink so much of it that I'm like, if I allow myself to drink it like candy, I will weigh 500 pounds. I will succumb to my father's side of the family's history of type 2 diabetes, and all will be lost.
That's why you go skinny, because it's sugar-free, and then it's skim milk. I mean, and milk, it does a body good. Come on. There's something here, Mike. Wait, have you ever tried it? That's all I'm saying. Have you ever tried it?
No, and I don't want to, because if I do and I like it, that only... Like, I drink so much coffee, if I take it anyway other than black as the night sky, I am setting myself up for disaster.
Wow. Go look at Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Speaking of not skinny, running backs were ranked on ESPN.com.
Running backs are skinny? How
They are not skinny. Running backs are powerful and thick.
Running backs are not thick.
Derrick Henry is not thick.
Fullback. All right. Oh, you picked the one running back that's the size of a D end.
Well, that's because I spent a lot of time on Twitter. You only need one name to make your argument. For you.
Sample sizes be damned. Derrick Henry is thick.
All right. So ESPN.com gave us the top 10 running backs. They've been going through the whole series. At number 10, they give us Le'Veon Bell. At number 9, we get the drastically underrated Josh Jacobs from my beloved Raiders. At number 8, Joe Mixon from the Bengals. Number 7, Nick Chubb from the Browns. Number 6, Dalvin Cook of the Minnesota Vikings. And then we get to the top 5, where you have the aforementioned Derrick Henry at 5 from the Titans. Kamara at 4 for the Saints. You got Zeke at 3 for the Cowboys, Christian McCaffrey at 2, Saquon at 1. Mike, your thoughts of the top 10 ranking?
So when I initially looked at this, I thought there's a very real argument, probably one I would make, that Christian McCaffrey should be number 1 on this list, just based on the otherworldly production that we saw last year. Obviously, I think Saquon has the most talent and is a great running back, but Christian McCaffrey has been on top of the game right now in a way that I think deserves note. And then the other one that I thought was maybe a bit too high was Alvin Kamara, relative to what we had seen recently, what he still overall looks like in a world without Mark Ingram in that backfield with him, versus a guy like Derrick Henry, who led the league in rushing and yards after contact last year, a guy like Nick Chubb further down on that list that our own Mina Kimes took umbrage with being that low on this one. So who did you have an issue with here?
By the way, I should point out that the list was compiled by surveying more than 50 league executives. So even though Jeremy Fowler put the list on ESPN.com, don't at Jeremy.
Yeah, I can say that his list.
Create the list. This was created. In all seriousness, not just because of my mega fandom, I think that Josh Jacobs is low at 9. I thought that Joe Mixon was a little high at 8. I'm with you that Kamara was, I think, a little high at 4. So, you know, I'm with the Chubb conversation. I think there's this counterculture that's happened for the Browns in general, because everybody had such incredible expectations last year and they weren't met. I feel like there's been this clapback mentality where suddenly everybody's overcorrected and now we're underrating some of those players. Chubb surprises me that he would be at number 7.
Honestly, we also need to have a conversation here too, and this is a faction of Twitter we've gotten to know over the last couple of years. Do we have to free Aaron Jones again? Like, all he did was have 16 touchdowns last year. all he's done is be one of the most efficient rushers in the league. If you were to put together the analytics list of running backs, Aaron Jones might be near the top because he was an efficiency monster 2 years ago. And as that offense, and especially, I know this is going into this season, so I'd imagine there's some eye towards the future in all this. And that offense, all it's done is talk about how Matt LaFleur wants to have an offense that, you know, is emblematic of what Kyle Shanahan's been building out in San Francisco. Well, we know what plays a pretty big part in that, so he seems like he'd be primed for that, and I love Le'Veon Bell to death. I think Le'Veon Bell deserves some sort of medal or a trophy for what he had to put up with last year and what he had to do as a running back just to get back to the line of scrimmage on some plays. That guy had to make chicken salad out of gravel last year, and somehow he still made a dish that was worth eating. That being said, might be a tough sell based on last season to get in there over a guy like Aaron Jones.
So we agree at this point that Christian McCaffrey should be one, Saquon should be two.
Are you in with McCaffrey at one?
I think for McCaffrey, it's not just about what he is running the ball. I mean, running back is a total position, and what he does out of the backfield is unmatchable. So to me, what you're looking at, his ability to do so many different things so incredibly well makes him the best in the league.
How high do you still want Zeke?
This is where I'm torn, because if we're just talking about what we've seen, I mean, I have a hard time putting Zeke ahead of Derrick Henry. I do. I have a hard time putting Zeke ahead of Derrick Henry. That being said, that's tough. No, I'm gonna put Derrick Henry ahead of Zeke. I don't know how good I feel about
that. Do you have a top five based off this? Because we've got McCaffrey and Saquon as our consensus one and two on all this one. Who is three on your list?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Derrick Henry at three. I'll go with Zeke at four. And I'm going to put Dalvin Cook at five. It's between Cook and Chubb.
Yeah.
I mean, Josh Jacobs should be number one, but, you know.
Understandable on that one. I think I'm with you with Henry at three now. It's going to be interesting what this season looked like. Obviously, last year was such a jump for him, such a dominant performance. But we know also that offense was one. And remember Dan Orlovsky talking about this and breaking this down really well going into the playoffs, that threw early, that kind of passed to set up the run, so to speak, in a lot of this, the whole notion of, you know, what you've got to do with play action. But they would go deep a lot early that would create some better situations for Derrick Henry. That being said, still, number one in yards after contact, so we know doing the work there, a physical force of nature, and the league's leading rusher last year, I'd put him at three.
He was also the league leader, in rushing attempts and yards against boxes of eight or more defenders. So even when they stacked him, he still had 106 rushes for 572 yards when he was facing a stacked box.
That's always the amazing part to me, is that so many of these, like Kyle Shanahan, who we always talk about as a great play caller, is great at manipulating those looks, even if there's guys around the box. Titans just lined up and slammed their meat slab into your meat slab and said, we have a defensive end hammer thrower in the backfield who's going to find his way through. And he did. He did for the majority of last year, and he deserves credit for that. So,
and Joe Mixon, by the way, I do want to point out one thing. Joe Mixon's number eight on this list. It's a reminder that there are offensive weapons in Cincinnati. And I know Cincinnati's bad every year. I get it. But I just feel like Joe Burrow coming into Cincinnati has been blessed into this situation where he's going to have weapons all around him. So I'll be interested to see where Mixon goes on this list with Joe as the quarterback.
Is Joe Burrow now become under-discussed storyline going into the season? I feel like he's the least talked about number one overall pick coming off the greatest college football season that we've ever seen. Like, I get the Bengals are bad, but it seems like we've just ignored him discussing quarterbacks going into this season in a way that I can't understand. All right, do you want the more important top five list in all this?
Yes,
one?
I want the
I can give it to you real quick.
Yeah, give it to me.
Top five NFL thighs.
Oh, top five thighs?
It's NFL thigh. You know, it's thigh day around here on Golic and Wingo. Obviously, Saquon Barkley being up near the top of this one is noteworthy. Near the top of the running backs
list
of this one.
I just wanted, okay, so you've got...
I've got a list of the top five thighs in the NFL. Do you want to hear about them?
Can we call them thigh guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thigh guys, top five. Go
All right, on. Can I get that NFL music back up there real quickly? I'll blaze through this list. I don't need the sounders. I just need the feeling behind me here. All right, number five on this list. You ready?
Yes.
Because he has to be involved in everything workout related, I am putting here just so he won't hurt me. Aaron Donald, number five on the list. I've never actually seen his thighs, but I assume that much like his pecs and abs, they're in tip-top shape. So Aaron Donald, number five on this list, because he needs to be involved in every workout list. Number four, Gardner Minshew. Jorts wearing Jesus, real thick, sturdy quads in that one. Looks great in the uniform. Looks even better when he's off duty on that one. Pairs very well with a mustache. Number three, let's give it up for Bo Allen. Defensive tackle, former Wisconsin Badger. Thick thighs save lives. Well, my friends, Bo Allen might be saving this entire nation because he's got enough thigh to feed Thanksgiving for the next 1,000 years in whatever house you're a part of there. A big man, a powerful man, and a friend of the show. So Bo Allen checking in at number three on this list. Number two, this is where it got tough. Number two, I'm going with Cam Newton. You saw a little bit of the show the other day there. Showed up to the Patriots facility, thighs out, for the sky. That was already out on this one. Toned, but still enough mass there to justify a place on this list. Long legs, a freak athlete in a lot of regards in here. Cam Newton brings a tremendous amount of ability to the thigh game. And then number one, there's only one place to go. It is Saquon Barkley, number one on the list. The entire reason for the season on this one, a thigh day king. Saquon Barkley is the best there is, and he puts the work into it, and that's why I want to reward that here. Much like Patrick Mahomes' $500 million contract in the NFL, when you are the best at what you're supposed to do and an important role in all this, you need to be treated as such, you need to be rewarded as such, and so to not put Saquon on the top of this list would be an affront to the entire notion of list-making in general.
Gola Gawingo presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. At some point, we need to do a deep dive into how you did your thigh guy film study. That's the real question here. Like, was there measuring tape? Did you go for measurables? How did you figure out your top five thigh list? Like, that's...
My Google search history is awkward.
That is very true. Coming up, how close are we to a mega deal for Dak Prescott? We'll ask our NFL front office guru after this SportsCenter update from our favorite thigh guy.
Yeah, maybe I could be number six on that list. Maybe, you know, NFL tangent enough in the media. We'll get to it in post. SportsCenter, the Big Ten is moving all fall sports to a conference-only model as decided by the league on Thursday. This includes football, making the Big Ten the first Power 5 conference to shake things up for the fall. We lose some great out-of-conference matchups. Ohio State was originally set to face Oregon early in the season, while Notre Dame would have played Wisconsin at Lambeau Field. On the golf course, Tiger Woods is making his return to the Memorial Tournament this upcoming Thursday, his first action since February. Woods, a five-time winner at the event, is one win away from passing Sam Snead for the most wins in PGA Tour history. Woods, remember, missed time earlier this year due to some back stiffness. And on this date in 2010, the Miami Heat acquired Chris Bosh from the Toronto Raptors to complete the Big Three with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. The trio went on to win two NBA titles in 2012 and 2013. That SportsCenter is brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear believes that movement drives us forward, and they believe in the importance of a pit stop. Sometimes that's all it takes, a moment to pause before we all start moving again. So as you get ready for the road ahead, Goodyear's here to help. Visit Goodyear.com to learn more. Goodyear, more driven.
It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Jason fits in for Trey Wingo and Mike Golic, sitting with Mike Golic Jr. All right, we've been talking a lot about contracts, and anytime that we talk about the contract to Patrick Mahomes, it has to lead to the what's next contract for Dak Prescott. So to get some thoughts on the crazy funny money that's out there, let's go to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where we're joined by ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, first and foremost, hope you and yours are safe. Thanks for giving us some time early this morning, man. We appreciate you. So your initial reaction as a former front office guy when you see 10 years and, you know, $477 million was...
Yeah, great to be with you guys, and good morning. I hope you're safe and healthy. The answer to the question was, wow. But when you really think about it, guys, it was the perfect storm. You have a high-character, productive player who's a Super Bowl champion before the age of 25, whose play style totally fits where the NFL is going, and you want to get him for as many years as possible. And while some people said, well, you know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't get sick and bite the apple, you know, his children's are taken care of. So to have generational wealth is something, and security is something, you know, you can't begrudge anybody. And when you look at the cap number of guys, players like Chris Jones gets to stay for another year or two. Sammy Watkins may get to stay for a year, Travis Kelce. And at some point when those cap numbers go up, those players will have to graduate and they'll have to continue to draft well, which is, you know, they've obviously done a great job of.
Mike, I'm curious. We've talked so much about the potential effect that this contract signing might have an effect on Deshaun Watson and others, but certainly Dak Prescott in the immediacy, as we now have 5 days before that July 15th deadline. I wonder, at the very least, does seeing the relationship that Patrick Mahomes, that team in front office have, just reinforce for Dak Prescott that the Cowboys don't seem to value him in a way that most starting quarterbacks at his level should be valued in this league?
Mike, I totally agree with you. And, you know, we've talked about this for the better part of a year, which is I just don't understand strategically why you would sign Zeke Elliott 2 years ago on his contract before you sign Dak Prescott. And let's go behind the curtains. It's July 14th. We're in Dallas, and I'm Todd France. And basically I say, you know, there's one of two quarterbacks in the history of the pro football that have thrown for 15,000 yards and won 40 games in their first 3 years in the league, 4 years in the league, and that's Dan Marino and Dak Prescott. And look, I have 40 wins. Russell Wilson has 40 wins over the last couple of years. And if you don't want to pay me, no problem, because somebody else will. And I'll easily play for $31 million this year. I took the risk a year ago. We're through that now. So now, if you don't want to pay me, no problem. I have all the leverage in the world.
We're talking to ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum. So, Mike, I'm going to make you the GM for the Cowboys. How different was your conversation the day after the mega deal for Patrick Mahomes than it was the day before?
Yeah, Jason, it cost them millions of dollars. It was they made a strategic mistake, and they're going to pay somewhere between, in my opinion, $6 to $7 million a year per year for it. Because if a year ago they were talking about numbers in the low 30s, which is, you know, where a bunch of good quarterbacks are, like the Ryan Tannehills, and you know, there's a whole bunch of guys. We could break down Goff's deal and others, but they're all somewhere between, let's just say, 30 to 33 million. You know, now if Russell Wilson's at 35 and Mahomes is at 45, if I'm Dak Prescott, I don't take the phone call for anything less than 37 to 38 million. Now, with that said, I think one place where Dallas did make some progress is, you know, Mahomes signed for 12 years, and I know one of the issues that's holding up Prescott's deal right now is length. So the fact that Dallas wants to go longer, obviously having a 12-year deal on the board helps that position. But from an average per year, Dak Prescott continues to make more and more money.
So, Mike, with all of these things in mind, the front office perspective in Dax, July 15th comes. Do you think we're getting a deal done, or is he playing on the tag?
Oh, I think he's playing on the tag, and here's why. If he was playing on the minimum a year ago, and, you know, if let's put ourselves in Dak Prescott's shoes, you know, he could have signed last year for whatever amount of money guaranteed, $100 million plus or minus, and he risked that to play on a rookie minimum deal. And now he's going to make $31 million. It's a lot easier to take that risk with $31 million in the bank than with nothing in the bank. So unless he gets every T crossed and I dotted the way he wants, why would he take anything else but, you know, a perfect deal in his opinion?
Talking to ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum, Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo and Mike Golic sitting with Mike Golic Jr. So, Mike, you know, the other big story that came out over the last couple of weeks has been the reduction of preseason. The NFL Players Association would like for there to be no preseason. If there is no preseason, what effect does that have on the front office of a team as they try and build their roster?
Yeah, I think it really hurts young players, developmental players. I think it hurts players that are new, and it's going to reward continuity and incumbency. You know, let's go to opening day. Everyone's talking about Drew Brees and Tom Brady. And Drew Brees and Sean Payton have been together for over a decade, and all those reps, walkthroughs, and mini camps. And now you have Tom Brady, who's actually never taken a snap under center with Bruce Arians. Like, that matters. So I think from a player development standpoint, it's going to hurt the younger players. And I think from a competitive standpoint, the teams that have returning coaches, play callers, and quarterbacks have a massive advantage.
We've heard teams also, Mike, talk about maybe bringing fewer than the normal 90-man rosters into camp, trying to limit the amount of bodies they've got on hand there. But how do you weigh that versus what we know could be the case of needing to have more guys that you know and are aware of should players test positive during the season, should you need players on short notice at certain positions? How are you balancing all of that in the front office when you set a board and try and have an understanding of this?
Yeah, great point. You know, I think what a number of teams are looking at is they're looking at maybe rotating, you know, half the building, working out and practicing, the other half virtual meetings, just to minimize the amount of contact that there is. And, you know, from a population, you know, sort of like the density aspect of having these buildings so crowded this time of year. And then I think the other point is really interesting, which is like, and we've heard Bruce Arians mention it publicly, which is, you know, are we going to quarantine a quarterback or two? Because, you know, nobody wants us to watch a game this year where some team has, you know, two quarterbacks in quarantine because of, you know, a positive test. And now, you know, they're starting a, you know, wide receiver, a quarterback. So I do think we'll see for this year only, maybe, you know, in terms of like the practice squad, maybe all players are eligible for that. And then what that'll do is that will allow players to maybe not be in the facilities that much, but, you know the system, know the scheme, and can, you know, come in on short notice. I think one of the other things we're going to see, and I know we've seen it in the NBA already, which is we're going to see a lot of soft tissue injuries because players, even, you know, the best in the world, like, they need structure. And while they can work out on their own, there's nothing like simulating practice, especially, you know, this time of the year where it's hot in so many parts of our country. So I do expect, you know, to see a number of soft tissue injuries, especially early on when we get to training camp.
Mike, as always, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your expertise. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. Stay safe, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Yes, same here, guys. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN, NFL front office insider. And, you know, it's going to be different this year, trying to figure out how to manage, because he just mentioned you're going to see more soft tissue injuries, Mike. And I keep looking across the board thinking a GM's job has never been more difficult than it will be this year, trying to have their own big board of what to do when people start going down, because inevitably they will go down. And there won't have been a traditional preseason, an opportunity for undrafted guys, fringe guys, like when you were trying to make rosters, like those opportunities aren't going to be there. So you're really going to find out which organizations have great GMs and which, quite frankly, don't.
SportsCenter here on Golic and Wingo. Let's get you caught up on everything going around in the world of sports. The Big Ten is moving all fall sports to a conference-only model, as decided by the league on Thursday. This includes football, making the Big Ten the first Power 5 conference to shake things up for the fall. This also means we lose some of the great marquee college football out-of-conference matchups we were expecting this season. Ohio State was set to face Oregon early in the year, while Notre Dame would have played Wisconsin at Lambeau Field. On the golf course, Tiger Woods is making his return at the Memorial Tournament this upcoming Thursday, his first action since February. Woods, a five-time winner at the event, and one win away from passing Sam Snead for the most wins on PGA Tour, remember, missed time earlier this year due to some back stiffness. And on this date, 1999, the United States won the Women's World Cup over China in sudden-death penalty kicks, giving us one of the most iconic moments. Defender Brandi Chastain kicked the game winner in before a jubilant celebration. And that is SportsCenter, and it is brought to you by Barbasol. Feeling great starts with a great shave, and a great shave starts with Barbasol Shaving Cream. That's Barbasol Shaving Cream, an American classic for over 100 years. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo and Mike Golic, sitting with Mike Golic Jr. And look, I'm used to not being the smartest guy in the room. That is part of my life.
I mean, you work with me a lot. I get it.
I understand it. You were an academic All-American, which is really what people that aren't great at football remind us that they did in their lives. But you did that, Mike. but spectacularly well. But I've never felt less qualified than I do right now to talk to our next guest, because not only was he better than you at football?
Oh my God. All right, you know what? Now you're just getting mean, but not only accurate, but mean.
Not only was he an incredible football player, but he's also smarter than all of us combined. Let's head over to the Shell Benzo Performance Line, where Dr. Myron Roll joins us, former NFL defensive back, neurosurgery resident at Mass General. And look, first and foremost, Dr. Roll, because that's what I'm going to say here, that first and foremost, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on. And I'm really glad we get to talk to you, because as we are right now talking about coronavirus and whether or not a league should be playing, I mean, I'm getting blown up on social media saying this is all a farce and none of it's real and we're all buying into a scam. So I ask you, where should I be finding the right information so that I can be as educated on actual facts as possible?
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it, certainly. And I'd say that accurate information can come from big hospital centers like ours, Mass General Hospital, Harvard, Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic, Hopkins, you know, some of these places that are just really devoted to the facts, devoted to scientists, epidemiologists, people in the lab doing wonderful research over and over again, and then also using the data points that we have from the patients that we're actually taking care of. That's a good starting place. WHO, CDC, they have some good guidelines as well. But being biased and seeing what we're seeing on the ground as a medical professional working in a really, really great hospital system, I think those are places where you can start to find out what you need to do to protect yourself, your family, and just where we are with coronavirus around the country.
And Myron, let's stick with where you are. We talked to you a while ago at the beginning of all this, especially when Massachusetts was dealing with some of the worst of this. So where are you guys at now, and what have you learned throughout this process in dealing with the coronavirus in the way that you guys have been?
Well, we're actually a bit better than we were when we started. And I think a lot of that is due to us taking it very seriously and really, really transforming our hospital. As you remember, when we started this coronavirus fight, we had really limited our surgical capacity. We were, declining or postponing some elective surgeries. We had transformed our hospital into a hospital within a hospital so that we were really devoted to just taking care of COVID-19 patients. No visitors were allowed. All essential workers were sort of staggered when they started their work day. We had an app. We walked into the hospital to show if you were sick or had any of the symptoms, the body aches, the sweating, the fever, anything like that that was related to coronavirus, and you'd be triaged appropriately. But now we're starting to open up a lot more. Surgeries are starting again. Our ICUs have been transformed back into their normal running ICUs. Our pediatric patients are not going to Boston Children's Hospital anymore, but they're back at Mass General Hospital. And our numbers are going down. I think our cases are less than 100, and I think our confirmed coronavirus patients are maybe less than 20, but our at-risk patients are maybe about 70 to 80. So it's getting better where we are, but obviously that's not representative of the whole country. As you see, places in the South below the Sun Bible Belt, it's just really, really difficult to see how these cases are still rising. And I think a lot of that is due to just the urgency that some of these maybe local governments and people have for wanting to resume a sense of normalcy. We all want to get there, but as I mentioned in the past, we have to go low, go slow, be conservative, because this virus won't go anywhere unless we attack it in that two-pronged approach from medical professional side and then also from the normal citizenry side.
Let's go look and wingo on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. We're talking to Myron Roll, former NFL defensive back, neurosurgery resident at Mass General. So, Myron, you mentioned sort of the different areas. You're so aware of what life of having played at Florida State and with the Titans. I mean, you know the South well, and they seem to be handling things differently there. So knowing how important college football is to that part of the country, if you were speaking right now to conferences across the country, would you recommend that college football be played given where we are right now with COVID-19?
I would say no. I would say it'd be irresponsible to play right now, especially with the numbers being as it is. And also, frankly, with how uncomfortable some of these athletes are with playing. They need to be your primary focus, right? I mean, if you have several players that are saying, I don't feel comfortable playing, I don't feel like this is the right move, I don't think that I want to see changes happening with our health and with the security that we have as far as the testing and, is this even possible or pragmatic to have a close contact sport, to be in a huddle, to tackle somebody, be in a locker room, to be in a weight room with your teammates and not contract the virus? I don't know how I'm going to respond to this virus. We've seen people who have comorbid and premorbid conditions that are older. Yes, they maybe decompensate quicker from coronavirus, but we have seen young people who have needed acute level critical care sort of treatment and therapy for this. So I would say it's irresponsible to start right now. I think that taking a year or maybe even two is necessary to make sure that we have great data points, good statistical significance in all of our, articles or all of our research and data on what's happening, and making sure that we have the appropriate therapeutic regimen to fight this the right way. We have to be a little bit uncomfortable being, without sports for a while. And my absolute recommendation would be, do not do it. Put the priority of health as a premium for the student athletes at the highest, and just listen to the facts and go with where this virus is going.
Myron Roll with us here on Golic and Wingo. A little bit of a different dynamic, certainly, as far as the power when it comes to the professional ranks. But Tom Haberstroh wrote a great piece recently about the NBA bubble and some of the moral questions about maybe the idea of taking testing away from the general public and some of the things going on with that. As you see the cases spiking in Florida and even around Orlando where the NBA bubble is that a concern that you would have as someone in the medical profession seeing the NBA and the resources it's drawing away from that local area?
I would, honestly. I think that, you know, the primary agenda right now, it seems, for these leagues is, you know, making money, resuming their normal, you know, schedule, and trying to put that product onto the court or the field or the track or the pool, wherever they are. But for the NBA specifically, onto the court, that's not right, in my opinion. I think that's not appropriate. I think that you should place a premium on these athletes, their families, themselves, and making sure that they're, you know, protected. If you care about them, if you say you do care about them, if you're walking in accordance with, you know, the civil rights and the social justice changes that, you know, you're seeing going on, where leagues are saying they're backing their athletes, they want to give athletes more of a voice, they you know, want to make sure the athletes are being optimized in all aspects of their person, on the court, off the court, with their family members, allowed to do whatever they want to do, as long as it's within, you know, the parameters of their profession, then place this at a high level too. Obviously, I'm biased being a physician, but I think that, you know, instead of worrying about making money, instead of worrying about generating this sport, instead of worrying about, you know, getting people away from thinking about the coronavirus and onto their escape route, which could be sports, and we know that can be a utility of sports, I think we should really just go a lot slower and maybe protect our players a little bit more, and, you know, get some more time for this coronavirus to really run its course and for us to have a good fight against it. Right now, we're obviously losing again, and we have to do better.
We're talking to Myron Roll. Myron, you've been doing incredible work on the front lines, which we're so thankful for, and we love the information you're giving us, but you've also been doing a lot with your foundation. Can you tell us a little bit about the Roll Foundation and what you guys been up to?
Yeah, so I started the Myron L. Roll Foundation in 2009. It was a way for me to sort of get, you know, good social change into the world through an organized conduit like a foundation. I've had all these ideas of how to, you know, sort of make an impact. And when you're young at Florida State, or when you're young just in general, you have all these ideas, but there's no real way of getting it through. And when you've been blessed with a great family and, you know, great mentors, great coaches, at some point you want to turn the table and start providing good social change. You want to start giving out some of those things that you were taught, mentoring young people. And so we've done that through my foundation. And now we try to find this issue that has been at the forefront, which is reducing the risk of the spread of coronavirus, wearing masks, you know, adhering to proper lifestyle modifications, washing your hands, social distancing, staying home if you can, having Zoom meetings as much as you can, you know, doing all these things away from people and away from crowds that will help curb the coronavirus. So my foundation has given out several masks, over 1,000, to at the Appalachian Center, which is a mental health you know, group down in Tallahassee, Florida, where I went to college, and then to the Mattapan Teen Center. It's a subset of the Boys and Girls Club in Boston, Massachusetts, a group that I work with, that I plan to continue work with as I finish my residency up at Mass General Hospital.
We appreciate all the information. You guys can find out more at rollfoundation.org, rollfoundation.org. Myron, thank you so much for making us smarter and for all that you've been doing to help everybody and so many people that need your help right now. We genuinely appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
Just an important message. And again, it's a conversation that you and I have been conflicted about all day. At some point, you have to take the money out of the conversation and just talk about where we are. You did a great job with that.
Golic & Wingo is brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear believes that movement drives us forward, and they believe in the importance of a pit stop. Sometimes that's all it takes, a moment to pause before we all start moving again. So you get ready for the road ahead. Goodyear's here to help. Visit Goodyear.com to learn more. Goodyear, more driven. Golic & Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. It's time to play a little Love It or Shove It. And to do that, as always, we love to bring in our friend Bubba. Bubba, how you doing, man?
Bubba, what's up?
Ready to play a little Love or Shove It, Bubba?
I mean, I'm ready. I'm a little concerned. Is Jason ready? It's been a little bit, so I hope you're ready, Jason. Do you remember how to do this?
Yeah, I just say tweet it or delete it, and then we're good, right?
Oh, we got a real funny guy here. We got that's an insult to
Granger. You can book that. I'm hysterical.
That's an insult to Granger. Have some respect. Have some respect.
All right, Bubba, why don't you kick it off with us and our fine friends at Granger, who actually are ready to do the work here of loving and shoving.
Unbelievable. Love it or shove it, brought to you by Granger. Let's get going. Tiger Woods will finish top five in his first start at Memorial next week. Love it or shove it.
I am going to love it. And you know why? Because I just need something to look forward to. I mean, at this point, I need a beacon of light in a dark, dark world. That's going to be Tiger Woods going on. Not finish the top five. Nay, Tiger Woods winning it all. That's what we want on Sunday. That's what we're going to just will into existence.
I will go loving this one as well. We need someone to challenge Bryson DeChambeau in all this. And I know Tiger's gone 151 days between PGA events, but I think that rest relative to the back tightness he was experiencing and what we saw at the match, Tiger was dialed in on that very public display of golf with Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady. So I'm going to bet the farm on Tiger Woods. Top five finish this weekend. Love it. Bubba?
All right. There will be a college football season. Love it or shove it.
I love it, and it'll be in the spring. Like, at this point, I am preparing myself for that eventuality. Obviously, the Big Ten's announcement that they were going to be conference-only play this fall, the ACC pushing back the start date of its Olympic sports, everything we've seen with the Ivies, Stanford, it all seems to lead to this doesn't look like it's going to be able to sustain during the fall, but I will love that it still happens at some point.
I'm going to shove it. Oh, God, this hurts my heart.
You don't even think we're getting it in the spring?
No, I don't think spring ball's in play. I think spring ball's out. I think we're – I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't think we're going to have college football this fall. And, like, that is emotional for me. So, yeah, no, I'm going to shove it. And the SEC meets today. Obviously, the Ivy League already made their cancellation. So, yeah, I'm going to shove it.
Dear God. Bubba, let's get away from this one. What we
wow,
got next?
Classic downer Jason, as always. Always a real downer. Love it or shove it, Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Out of the NBA, MLB, and NHL, hockey is the most likely league to be able to finish its season. Love it or shove it.
Love it. I love it because they're up in Canada. They're away from the mess that we've created down here. I love this one. Now, hockey's certainly had their issues in the revamp and getting back to a lot of these things after announcing their plan first in a lot of this group. They were one of the first true plans we heard and agreements to come back, but I will love this one. I think the surrounding environments, even in these bubble settings, are going to give them a better shot at this. They are also a bubble sport in a lot of this. The Eastern Western Conference is going to be in different city setups between, I think it's Toronto and Edmonton in this, so I'll love this one. I'll give hockey the vote of confidence here.
Yeah, I'm going to love it. Also, I love the way they did the Western Conference Hotel is attached to the arena. So everybody's in and out directly from there. Plus, I've been in enough NHL locker rooms. They have like this weird stink funk. I believe that whatever that bacteria is could kill anything because nothing smells worse than a hockey locker room. So I believe that whatever grows around hockey can actually make anything. Like it's a petri dish that will make anything die.
We need to send Myron Roll there to check out that situation and find that out. Bubba, what do we got next?
All right, back to the NFL. The Raiders won't win a single AFC West title over the duration of Patrick Mahomes' contract and extension, which is 12 years. Love it or shove it.
I'm going to shove that so hard. You know what? You guys, you're trolling me here. And my beloved Raiders have not had a good run of it, but Derek Carr's going to have a transcendent season. They're going to get a wild card this year, and then everybody's going to start paying attention to him. And all of a sudden, hey, Papa, you can't laugh at me. You told me the Jets were going to be good last year, and we saw that dumpster fire
that
trash heap. So
that doesn't sound like something I said.
That doesn't sound like Bubba.
Yeah, and besides, Patrick Mahomes is going to play 3 years and then decide he's good and retire.
Oh, God.
I
am going to say I'm going to love this one. And you know what I will say, though, is what I appreciate about what the AFC West is providing us is that throughout all this uncertainty, we now have at least one thing that we can count on for the next decade contractually. It will be Patrick Mahomes versus John Gruden. That much we know in all this because one's got a 10-year deal and the other just signed a 10-year extension that's really a 12-year deal in all this. So at the very least, I can count on them in a very uncertain world of sports. And count on the fact that I trust Patrick Mahomes more.
Yeah, I'm just saying that once the Kool-Aid man leaves the Kansas City Chiefs sideline, things are going to change too. Like, Andy Reid doesn't get enough credit. At some point, he's going to retire, and then that's going to be the next hope for my beloved Raiders.
Bubba?
All right, it's love it or shove it. Golic and Wingo. Bubba is here from the generic ESPN Radio afternoon show, I guess. I am here. Back to the NBA here. Tom Thibodeau will return the Knicks to glory if hired as their head coach. Love it or shove it.
Shove it. I mean, I don't know. Like, this is less about Tibbs for me. Like, obviously, some people might have some gripes with him, but in general, it's just the Knicks. Like, I can't trust the structure of that franchise to be a place that's a suitable foundation for good things to grow at this point. We've seen too much evidence of the contrary right now. So, no, I can't do anything that involves backing or trusting the Knicks.
Yeah, no, I shove it for the same reason. I'll say this. Coaches don't matter as much in the NBA as players, and I don't care who's coaching. Players don't want to go there. So, nope, I'm out.
Bubba, let's get the last one in. Let's go wedding version here.
Got it. Weddings should be judged solely on how packed the dance floor is, love it or shove it.
I am going to shove that, not solely on that. That's one of the major forces. It is dance floor and what your open bar situation looks like. And the third and final prong is your post-game snack, whatever you bring out at the end of the night. Those are the three most important criteria. Jason?
Dance floor, dessert. And I will agree with alcohol, although not to surprise anybody, not open bar. Come on, let's not be savages here. I'm not paying for your drinks.
Dear God. Bubba, save us and take us home.
What is going on? Love It or Shove is brought to you by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery.
Bubba, brilliant as always. Jason, cheap as always. Neither of those things all that shocking.
I'm still hurt you guys trolled my beloved Raiders.